Ladies and gentlemen, hello and welcome once again to another special edition, special FightfulSelect.com podcast, the one that is exclusively for NXT UK for as long as this is a promise I make to you, FightfulSelect.com members, for as long as WWE keeps putting back-to-back episodes of NXT UK every week, I, your humble servant, Mr. Warren Hayes, will be here to give you an exclusive, a show exclusively dedicated, that's what I meant to say, exclusively dedicated to the British boys and girls over on the other side of the Atlantic, putting on, but they're not all British. There's New Zealanders in there as well, Australians, Italians. I got a whole mess of Europeans there. and I'm sure I'm forgetting a couple of nationalities. The Irish. Can't forget the Irish. But that's it. I will be doing this. Because usually, when NXT UK started, at least, I appended it to my weekly NXT 205 Live recap show, which I'm sure many of you watch here on FightfulSelect.com. Man, packing in 4 hours of programming into 1 hour, not something I want to do. Not to cover it properly, give it the amount of love and attention that it requires, that's needed. Right? It's not good for me. It's not good for you. It's not good for anyone. But you know what is good is coming to check this out live. Thank you if you're watching this at your leisure. At whatever moment is best for you. But if you do pop up live on Fightful Select and you jump into the chat here, you'd be like Tim and John tonight who've joined me in the chat. So much fun. It's a good time. You should try that out sometime. It's a good time. But thank you nonetheless for supporting Fightful. Whole bunch of great stuff happening on Fightful Select these days. Sean is working extra hard to bring in some new programming, new faces over on the Weekender. And Sean himself has a new program, the Fightful Podcast. Check all of that good stuff out. Hey, there's even a new pay-per-view review out there with me and Sean as well. Go check all that great stuff out. We're going to talk about NXT UK. Another week of NXT UK, another week of people getting bent out of shape on the internet, wondering if, all this talk about the NXT exclusive contracts, right? We talked about this last week, and a lot of people still saying, that this is the death of the British Indies because of these exclusive contracts. We got more details about those. We had quite a substantial amount more of details regarding these newfound restrictions that WWE is putting on NXT UK talent. We found out a few more details. You can find this article over on our mothership, Fightful Select, Fightful.com. Fightful Select feels like the mothership for me, but actually, the mothership. It's more like the stepfathership. I don't know what I'm talking about. Fightful.com. You can go check out the article. it's Robin Reed of Voices of Wrestling who reported that the NXT superstar contracts could actually be broken down into three tiers. The first tier is for wrestlers signed to what is essentially WWE full-time contracts structured similarly to traditional NXT deals. Wrestlers can work dark matches for WWE partner promotions, similar to NXT. Talent working dark matches for Evolve, for instance. The report indicates that Progress and ICW are set to be added to the WWE network, which is really cool, at the start of 2009, which is really cool. This is good news. And as previously reported, WWE is looking into adding new content to the network and have internally discussed a tiered network structure. So there'll probably be pricing changes coming up. A majority of those scheduled to appear at NXT TakeOver Blackpool, the first TakeOver event that will happen in January, fall into this first tier. So it'll be interesting to see. If you were to ask me, my guess is here, you know, Pete Dunne, Tyler Bate, Trent Seven, Joe Coffey, Zach Gibson, probably even Jordan Devlin, Mark Andrews. These are probably all guys that have exclusive contracts. Rhea Ripley is probably in there. Tony Storm as well. Anyone who's getting even remotely a push right now, a big push, Dave Mastiff is probably in that tier as well. Tier two allows wrestlers to appear on streaming services, but only for WWE partner promotions like Progress, ICW, WXW, Fight Club, Attack Pro Wrestling, Over the Top Wrestling, and Future Shock. And wrestlers who are semi-regulars but without a role on TakeOver will fall into this tier. And as for tier three, these are wrestlers that can work freely across the world but cannot appear on major promotions like RevPro, Defiant, New Japan, Ring of Honor, Impact, MLW, Lucha Underground, and the rumored All Elite Wrestling from Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks. And this tier consists mainly of enhancement talent and one or two wrestlers that have not signed new deals. So, of course, there are exceptions that don't fit into any one box. This is what Reed reported. One exception is Walter, who will remain in Germany and will freelance for WWE NXT. So this makes sense, and it does indeed seem, it feels like NXT type contracts, and it makes sense. And I don't see any death to the indies through these types of contracts. Of course, they're going to lock down their bigger names, like the ones that I figure are on the ones that I mentioned previously in tier one. I think those are the bigger names that are being locked down with reason as well. I mean, let's put it this way. You have Pete Dunne, who's going, who currently is the longest running WWE champion champion within WWE. I mean, he's had the longest reign in modern history right now. You wouldn't necessarily want him to start going around working a little too much and injuring himself somewhere else. It makes sense in a business sense, right? And I'm pretty sure Pete Dunne as well at some point will realize where his bread is buttered and wants to make sure that he holds up his end of the deal. Let's not forget, keep one thing in mind, in the weeks leading up to the most recent takeover Los Angeles, well, Los Angeles, but War Games too, Dunne was working injured off an injury that was rumored that he picked up while working dates for another promotion. So, you know, it's clear that management in WWE love ya Pete Dunne, just like most of us do. Of course, they want to keep, if they want to keep pushing him and they have plans for him to stay as a top guy, well, they want him to stay as healthy as possible. So going out and doing other dates on the side, maybe not a good idea. But, I mean, you know, yes, on one hand, it's restrictive, you know, in the environment where the British wrestling scene had all these guys and girls just going around, sharing, going around each promotion and performing right and left. Of course, it's going to be a little more streamlined now, a little more restrictive on that end. A lot of this talent won't be able to show up on the indies anymore, but that's just a normal cycle. And there's going to be bottom talent that we haven't heard of, talent that is chomping at the bit and waiting for an opportunity that are going to rise up because the cream always rises to the top. And again, you know, if we're still talking about this, just one last NXT UK note here. Justin Sisom, I think I'm pronouncing his name right, from World of Sport, he penned an open letter expressing his opinion on the recent changes with the scene. He posted it on Twitter with a picture of himself in the background as a watermark. It is probably the most self-serving open letter I have seen in all my life. I'm going to, you can, again, another article you can go check out on Fightful.com. You can go read the letter. I'm not going to read it here because it's quite long, but overall what he's saying is that, well, NXT, the WWE is coming in and taking our heroes away, and the British scene is going to suffer for it, and which I highly disagree with. Yeah, Tyler Bate, Pete Dunne, and Trent Seven come after him, and basically express different opinions. Pete Dunne here on Twitter said, "Every step myself and other members of the NXT UK roster have taken within WWE over the past 2 years has been nothing but a benefit to the independent scene. Don't disregard that because of hearsay and rumors." Then Trent Seven was a little more harsh, says, "Hang your head in shame, Justin. We've all worked incredibly hard over the past few years to create a thriving scene for all levels of talent to perform on. Delete your tweet and stop attention seeking." That was a little more harsh than what the Bruiserweight had to say. Again, you know, I think there's a lot of overreaction here. I myself think that this guy was just trying to carve a name out for himself, maybe a little jealousy because he threw himself in with World of Sport. Maybe he regrets not having aligned himself elsewhere. Feels like an attention grab for me, but go check it out. Fightful.com. Make your own opinions. I mean, you know, Warren can be wrong sometimes, which is something that doesn't happen very often. Blows my mind. But hey, it can happen. But, you know, I'm looking forward. And here's one last thing. One very, very last thing, especially when you consider Sisom's open letter where he said, the indie scene is going to suffer so hard. Rev Pro has set up a match in January, if I'm not mistaken, Will Ospreay versus Pac, formerly known as Neville. And they booked the match. They booked the event at York Hall, and it is Rev Pro's. It's sold out. And it's sold out in record time. The fastest sellout. Yes. Sellout. It just sounded weird because usually you tell that to someone that you sold out. And we're talking about people selling out, but it's their fastest sellout in history. I am convinced they are going to be fine. The British wrestling promotions, non-affiliated with WWE, they will be fine. All right, then. Let's start with episode 13 of NXT UK. The Coffey Bros and Wolfgang come into the ring. Joe Coffey has a microphone. Says, "Ruthless. What else do they call us?" Hands the microphone over to his brother Mark. "Devious." Yes, he hands the microphone over to Wolfgang. Says, "What's another word they use for us? Underhanded." "Yes, they call us these things, and they are absolutely right. But NXT UK is our kingdom." The audience chants back, "Not your kingdom." Then Wolfgang grabs the microphone, and he's upset. He's a boiling bag of boiling bad boy. And he says, he starts going off on something. He says, you know, "You guys don't respect us," or something. He's gallus, and he's gallus, and I'm gallus, and we're all gallus. We're gallus, 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 gallus. I'm like, what is he talking about? Well, apparently this is their new stable name now. Calling themselves Gallus, G-A-L-L-U-S, as indicated on the Warren board here. No, it's not a whiteboard. It's a Warren board. Mother always said branding is important. And Gallus, well, according to what I found on the internet, but still on very, on a very proper site. It is a word to describe an act of boldness or daring, right? For example, the example that's used here, and I'll quote my source, Scotsman.com. I feel that this is a site of repute. It's not as if I'm checking this out on Urban Dictionary, for Pete's sake. Here's Gallus in the context of a sentence. The way she spoke to Mrs. Waters was Gallus. Aha. As the name implies, someone who acts in a Gallus manner is usually doing something that they shouldn't be. Formative usage of the word was more condemnatory in nature, referring to someone of dubious character who was fit to be hung by the gallows. See, gallows, Gallus. So these are big, bold boys, the Coffees and Wolfgang. That's what they're for. They're big Gallus boys. It's funny. Like I get it because they're all Scottish, all three of them, and I like it. I mean, it's unique. It's not something you're going to hear in North America. But you know how a couple of times they dropped. You know, this is our kingdom, and they were talking about, you know, being kings of Scotland. Wolfgang refers to himself as the last king of Scotland. I really thought that their stable was going to be called the Kings of Scotland. And I would have really dug that. Gallus. Gallus, Gallus, Gallus. So basically, they're in the ring. They call out British Strong Style, calling them cowards. But instead of British Strong Style coming out, it is the Kiwi Buzzsaw, Travis Banks, who is out. He's back from injury after being attacked by Gallus. He comes out and Joe Coffey coaxes him to get in the ring. He taunts him, and he does. Travis Banks. He's a little, you know, he's out for blood. Maybe the adrenaline starts going, and you're not quite thinking straight. You know, one smaller dude against three really big dudes. Maybe he didn't think this one quite through, but he just hit the ring. He thes presses Joe, but he gets overwhelmed really, really quickly until Mustache Mountain run in to help and Gallus leave the ring. So nice little interesting way to start off this episode here. Fabian Aichner is coming out next. I'm excited about this. But before we see that, Rozzy. What a cool interviewer, by the way. I don't think I've talked about Rozzy. It's Rozzy or Rozzy, Rozzy. I don't think I've talked about him. But he, first of all, a guy doing backstage interviews. We haven't seen that in a while in WWE, you know. Not since Tom Phillips, I guess. It's practically, like, I want to say that it's all women on main roster, I think. In NXT as well. It's been a while. And he's so unique. The hair, the way he dresses, and the way he expresses himself. And I think he's a really good straight man as well. Like, he reacts properly. He does a fantastic job. Every week, I'm like, oh, it's always nice to see him. I like him. Anyway, so he's with Jordan Devlin. And Devlin says he pushed Dunn to the max in his match last week, which he did. We'll talk about that a little later. And he thinks that next time he'll become champion, which I agree with, but we'll talk about that a little later. But tonight he's ready to go after Flash Morgan Webster. That's his match for the night. Anyway, let's move on. Fabian Aichner versus Mark Andrews. Fabian Aichner, evolved heavyweight champion, by the way. He is their champion. I wish they'd address these things on WWE Network sometimes, or on NXT UK. But I get it. You know, they're like, on one hand, I'd like them to acknowledge this stuff. But on the other hand, right now, the brand, the NXT UK brand, is so, so, so fresh. And they want to, you know, establish the talent, create the bubble of talent within NXT UK. They're, you know, presenting the titles, making the titles feel something. If they start bringing in titles from other promotions now, might just dilute everything. And at some point, it could also confuse some members of the audience who don't necessarily follow Evolve. I don't have a chance to watch Evolve because I cover Raw, SmackDown, 205 Live, NXT, NXT UK in a week. That's 9 hours of wrestling. And I mean, I love what I do. Don't get me wrong. This is a great time, but at, you know, unless tons of people subscribe to come see me, give me some leverage so I can negotiate with Sean. but you know, I follow Evolve from afar, you know, follow the news, the results, and so on and so forth. But you know, I know that if they started addressing the titles, these titles, it might confuse members of the audience. You know, there's really only so much wrestling you can watch in a week, even if 1,000 people come into Fightful Select and, you know, demand that I watch all the wrestling. There's still only so much I'd be able to do to watch and then talk about it. That's my life. That's how hard it is. Fabian Aichner versus Mark Andrews. Let's get on with it. Sportsmanship to start. Fabian Aichner comes in the ring, extends a hand. Mark Andrews shakes. We're off to a rousing start. Good old sportsmanship. Hi-ho, British wrestling. Good job. Headlock to start. Mandrews, but Aichner shoulders him down. Aichner then catches Andrews and presses him. But presses him above his head, but Andrews avoids getting slammed. He gets out of there. Andrews arm drags Aichner. Now there's a tongue twister for you. Andrews arm drags Aichner. Orbiting Hurricane Rana takes Andrews to the outside. Aichner to the outside. Mandrews follows up with a dive onto Aichner. Back in the ring, pop up backbreaker by your boy Fabian, which was a cool. Aichner gets Mandrews in some body scissors, who bottles back with some kicks and enziguri and stomps Aichner in on the chest. Nice corkscrew. Let's try that again. Nice corkscrew senton by Mandrews covers him, but only gets two. Aichner blocks a tornado DDT, pops Mandrews up again, who comes back down with a tight hurricane run. It looked really, really good. He 619s Aichner, but Aichner fights back with a reverse Alabama slam, or at least he was from a belly to back position and flipped him over. It looked harsh. A big lariat by Aichner follows up, and then we get the Stun Dog Millionaire by Mandrews. But at this point, both guys are exhausted. They're down. They're spent. Andrews dives from the second rope, and Aichner catches him in thin air and gets him right into a brain buster. That was cool. Covers him, but only gets two. Aichner's a strong dude. Springboard moonsault by Aichner misses. Andrews hits a tornado DDT on Aichner, who kicks out at two as well. Mandrews is going back up, hits the shooting star press. Aichner rolls out of the way. Mandrews lands on his feet. Aichner starts running. They go to the outside. Aichner starts ramming him into some steps. And I'm like, what happened to fair play here? Ramming people into steps is not fair play. He leaves Mandrews out there for dead, but Mandrews beats the 10 count. And Aichner hits a spinning powerbomb and gets the win. Man, there is so much upside to Fabian Aichner. I hope he gets the proper push in NXT UK that he never got in NXT North America. that's something. I really like it. I like when I like Fabian Aichner. I wish nothing but the best. We get an Isla Dawn package with she's a witch. I don't know if you noticed. She's a witch who has access to a suite of basic Adobe Premiere special effects. I wasn't a fan of that. It was a little too cornball, a little too B movie horror for my taste. Didn't quite care for it. Yeah, Salem, baby, says John. Yep, pretty much. And we got the Isla Dawn package because she's up next against Nina Samuels. It wasn't a very long match. Some headlocks to start off. Dawn trips Samuel and gets her into a headlock on the mat. Samuels battles back. She hits a snapmare and puts Dawn into a stretch. Tilt-a-whirl backbreaker by Samuels, and she goes for a cover, only gets two. She starts working the arm, gets whipped into the corner, but Dawn, she whips Dawn into the corner, runs after her, but Dawn moves out of the way. Backdrop driver on Samuels, and she hits her finisher for the win. Not much to it. As we will see in episode number 14, they're grooming Isla Dawn to be Rhea Ripley's first serious competition. Wasn't much to this match here. I don't think it did anyone any real favors. It was just there. Not much heat either. Next we have Eddie Dennis against Tucker. Just stole Tucker. This was a showcase match basically for Eddie Dennis. Again, Dennis pummels the guy down. He whips him into a corner, hits a back body drop, but Tucker lands on his feet. He runs the ropes, but Dennis catches him and hits a backbreaker, covers him, but only gets two. Locks in a three-quarter Nelson, followed up by a few knees. Tucker tries to battle back, but Dennis eventually catches Tucker off the second rope, hits the severed bridge, that buckle bomb from a razor's edge position, which I'm still stunned that that's an actual move, that people let that happen. And he finishes the match with the neck stomp driver for the win. Eddie Dennis, you'll pardon my overall ignorance of British wrestling, because like I said, there's only so much I can watch in a week, and I do a lot of WWE programming. I'm looking forward to Eddie Dennis. I'm looking forward to finding Eddie Dennis's upside. He's a big guy. He does big guy moves. He's tall. The severed bridge is cuckoo crazy to see. I mean, that as far as impressive moves go, that's something to behold, because he's really tall. The extension he gets on his arms. But as it stands, he's only been getting squash matches here. I'm okay with them getting squash matches. I'm okay with them building characters, because I've said this before talking about the brand. The NXT UK brand is very, very, it's in its fledgling state. They want to help us. They want to build the characters. They want us to understand who the players are. We got to give them some wiggle room, some time to breathe. So of course, if they want to build Eddie Dennis as a monster, well, they're going to need matches like these, time for him to grow and develop into, so that he can create the mystique about him. Because right now, I think he's on a collision course with Dave Mastiff for TakeOver Blackpool, which we'll talk about a little later, especially in episode 14. John says UK Lars. Yeah, kinda. That's how I see him. Kind of a UK Lars Sullivan, whereas I see Dave Mastiff as more of a Braun Strowman, more athletic, invincible Braun Strowman. Even though the way he moves and the way he's shaped and his moveset reminds me more of a Samoa Joe, but they're painting him being Mastiff, they're painting him much more invincible. So he's closer to a Braun Strowman than a Samoa Joe, because as you know, Samoa Joe can't win any big matches. Anyway, we're talking about NXT UK. Main event, Jordan Devlin versus Flash Morgan Webster. Two wrestlers I really like. I'm familiar with the work of Flash Morgan Webster before coming into NXT UK, and Jordan Devlin, man, if you saw his match against Pete Dunne and he hasn't won you over, you have a heart of stone, a Blarney stone. That's an Irish reference. If you don't know what the Blarney stone is, hit up Wikipedia.org. So Devlin and Flash Morgan Webster lock up. Devlin works the arm. Morgan gets out of the arm lock. There's a lot of reversals and grappling at this point. And he snapmares and arm drags Devlin, who retreats to the ropes to slow the pace down. Morgan getting some quick offense in early. Webster goes for an arm drag, but Devlin just pulls his arm away. Just like, nope, none of that. You're not getting me with that again. He hits a draping backstabber on Webster, like draping over from the second rope. That was nice. Cover for two. He hits a uranage and follows up with his standing moonsault. Covers, gets two. And Devlin goes to work on Morgan some more. He stomps him down. Morgan Webster. He starts stomping him down. He lifts Webster into a back body position, but drops him on a backbreaker over the shoulder, which I took a moment. I paused and I rewound it to look at it again. Man, Jordan Devlin is a strong guy. I get it. You know, like Flash Morgan Webster isn't the heaviest guy, but to pull that off, that takes some strength, my dudes. He covers Webster and only gets two. Devlin gets Webster into a stretch, punching him in the ribs, driving his elbow right nice and tight in the side there. Devlin tosses Webster to the outside, drives him against the ring apron, I should say. Back in the ring, Webster starts to battle back with some body shots, but they have barely any effect on Devlin. Devlin he's just overpowering him. Webster is, he's gassing kayfabe. He's not gassing for real, but he's spent. He's groggy. It's just not working. Devlin just slaps him in the face, talks a little trash. Webster starts an offensive flurry, but Devlin rakes his eyes to cut that momentum down. He's just toying with him, he being Devlin. He's just toying with him at this point. And the expression, they did a close-up of Webster's face. The anguish, the pain, the exhaustion, the desperation. There was so much going on at that moment. Like he was going to quit at any moment, just right there. I liked it. That was good. Some good facial expressions are always great when it comes to getting your story across. Devlin whips Webster into the corner, but charges in. But Webster charges out with the modern knee. Both guys are down. Webster gets a head of steam, runs the ropes, hits a clothesline, a drop kick, a second drop kick. He charges Devlin into the corner, but eats a boot. But he still manages to deliver an enziguri. There's some top rope shenanigans that lead to a super hurricane rana by your boy Webster. Covers, only gets two. Both men are spent. They're lying on the mat trying to get the upper hand. Devlin charges back with some corner kicks. He washes Webster's face with a boot. Short arm backdrop driver, which is so cool. So cool. Every time he does it, it's so cool. Webster again comes from behind with a headbutt, but that sends Devlin to the outside. Webster goes for a sliding something and hits the rude boy block off the floor, to the floor off the steps, I should say. That was really nice. The 10 count is beat, though. They're back in the ring. Webster goes to the top rope. Somersault senton, but Devlin lifts his knees. So nothing good about that. Devlin hits the Ireland's call. Call for the win. this was a good match. Great match. It was a lot of fun. Great story here being told that, you know, Devlin is a, he's a wrestling machine. He's a powerhouse. He's quick. He's got all the tools to become great. Didn't play off the, no one really realized going into the match how much of a mismatch it would be, but Webster for two thirds of the match barely got any offense, and he had, you know, his last hurrah towards the final third, which got everything really, really exciting. But this was fantastic. And from what I saw last week and then again tonight, I think I'm entirely for your boy Jordan Devlin to be the next WWE NXT UK champion. I think he should really be the guy to take the title off of your boy Pete Dunne, because last week we saw him, and he said it himself in his promo earlier, we saw him take Dunne to the limit. And I mean, they had a hell of a match. I rank it right up there with Gibson and Dar in my personal book. It was great. And he dominated Dunne for a lot of the match as well. He had Dunne scouted. I get that they've been, you know, they want to establish Dunne as a fighting champion, but they also want to create a rogues gallery of potential contenders as well, which is smart, you know, make us understand, you know, okay, well, who's going to be these, who are we considering to be the top tier here in NXT UK? Well, Devlin is definitely up there. And as much as I figured Zach Gibson should be the guy to take the belt off of him, I kind of feel Devlin should do it. Plus, he's a great promo. He's a very, very good promo. Yes, John, Dunne was almost Dunne last week. Thank you very much. This is the, folks, again, if you're watching this not live, do consider joining us live, because this is the kind of quality chat. Oh, I'm just poking fun at John. I love John. And John loves me. So that was it was a fantastic match. This is the kind of match that Warren says, go out of your way to watch it. It was great. Episode 14 starts off with Joseph Connors and Dan Maloney. Now, I don't understand Joseph Connors' upside right now. Like, I don't understand who he is. I don't understand what his character is. They were trying to put him over as, you know, oh, he's stoic, but he's stoic, but he's also insane. You know, he lost a part of his ear in a bar fight, and he was left for dead. And I was like, what is this? You know, like, I really don't. Just give me. I don't understand what the big deal is with Joseph Connors, because they haven't given them proper time to develop a character, and the character they seem to be developing doesn't seem to connect really. So I'm not sure. I'm really not sure what they're trying to do with them at this point, but we'll eventually see. You know, like I said, give him time to develop the characters, but as of right now, I'm not quite sure what Connors is all about. They lock up to start, he and Maloney. They trade some strikes, and Maloney takes him down with a double chop to the chest. There's a back body drop. Connors starts to tear at Maloney's ear because he got his ear torn off, he's going to tear everyone's ears off. He's going to yank on everyone's cartilage until everyone has one ear like him. That's actually a gimmick I could get behind. Gonna be honest, folks, there wasn't really, really much to this match. I thought that Connors' brawl with Saxon Huxley last week was more entertaining than this. It was a good brawl. This was meant to be a showcase match for Connors, but it fell flat for me. Like, there was no heat to it. It was slow. It was really strange. We got to the end here. Maloney hits a spine buster on Connors. He covers. He only gets two. But Connors hits a sunset flip buckle bomb, which was really cool. That was a nice, nice move. And he hits his don't look down finisher for the win. Look, we'll give him time to grow, but not quite sure about Joseph Connors. This match I don't think it helped anyone here either. I'm not sure. Isla Dawn is backstage talking about how everything she is comes from a place of good, of honesty, truth, and spirit. And she is not owning that promo at all. She has fangs. Today I learned Isla Dawn has fangs. I was not aware of that. But she is, she did not take this promo. It didn't belong to her, and she didn't want anything to do with it. It wasn't very good. Like, right now, I'm not sold on Isla Dawn right now. Ripley comes in, and Ripley as in Rhea Ripley, not Ripley from the Aliens franchise, although that would be really cool. But Rhea Ripley comes in and says that she'd been looking for suitable competition, not just competition. And she's handpicked someone that will be her competition. And you, Isla Dawn, you know, you just better keep your eyes on what I'm going to do tonight. The Gallus boys are waiting for the British strong style boys outside the venue amongst the production trucks and the tour buses. And they have a confrontation until officials arrive. Sid Scala, Johnny Saint. Johnny Saint always looks he always looks angry, but you know, like, not the kind of angry, like, you know, Triple H always looks angry kind of thing. It's just like old man angry. Just like his face is fallen into a position where he always looks like he's in some kind of a soft scowl. You know, like where if he were to actually scowl, like everything would harden and go deeper. But even just in repose, just like his face, nice and normal, like everything still droops down to an angry position. Just like old man mad. next we had Wild Boar Mike Hitchman versus Dave Mastiff. Again, I'm waiting to see Dave Mastiff's upside. I'll get to that in a bit. But I'm still waiting for the moment of revelation where I'm like, okay, now I see what everyone sees in Dave Mastiff. And I was hoping that I was going to get to see it against Mike Hitchman, who is not a slouch in the ring. Hitchman goes in early with some forearms that Dave Mastiff barely sells. Mastiff hits him down, series of elbows to the side of the head. Those always look rough. I mean, like, well executed enough that they look rough without being rough. Just wanted to clear that up. I'm not saying that Dave Mastiff is throwing wild elbows. Hitchman trips Mastiff down into the corner. He runs at him and sort of launches his entire body onto him. Like, is it some kind of diving hip attack? I'm not quite sure what it was, but he did it. It was a kamikaze kind of move. He strikes some more. Arm bar gets Mastiff down to one knee, and Hitchman is yanking at Mastiff's head. He has him in a chin bar. But Mastiff battles back with some forearms, open hand palm strikes, European uppercut, and a headbutt lays Hitchman down. He hits a big senton, gets Hitchman up into a fireman's carry position, but Hitchman wiggles himself free. He shoulder blocks Mastiff into the corner, running spear right into the big man, does the body launch again, the same like kamikaze move he did, but Mastiff lifts his legs up. The shotgun dropkick by Mastiff just slings Hitchman, just projects him, tosses him like he's like he just got flown out of a crashing car, like went through the windshield, flies right into the corner, and he hits his cannonball, Mastiff, for the win. I honestly can't wait for Mastiff to have something to chew on, but he's going to get something to chew on because Mastiff cut a promo backstage. Interestingly enough, he's a babyface. Fine, because he cut a very, very babyface promo putting over Hitchman, saying, you know, yeah, you know, tonight I was better than Hitchman, but he's no slouch. And in the background, Eddie Dennis was there, and he was listening to every word he was saying. Dave didn't know he was there. So I guess this is what we're going to get to chew on. Mike Hitchman and Eddie Dennis, probably at Liverpool, Blackpool, sorry, TakeOver. Why not? Like I said, maybe this will answer a couple of questions in the chat. I'm not familiar. I've said this before. Not familiar with Mastiff's entire body of work. I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with him. There we go. All right. One thing that I'd like to point out just before we go on with the, you know, with the promos, the segments that they tape, you know, the one that they taped outside with the British Strong Style and Gallus, and the one they did here with Mastiff. Anyway, throughout all the promos, all the taped segments, all the taped promos that they do are all shot in a very different style than anywhere else in WWE, whether it's NXT, main roster, 205 Live. There's a film grain to what they're doing. Yeah, there's, you know, the backgrounds are out of focus. It's shot, dare I say, a little more cinematically. And I like it. I like it because it feels different. It adds to the appeal of the brand, or at least to the aesthetic of the brand. I like it. I think it's a good idea. I think it's good. Next, we get Tyson T-Bone versus Ligero. This is a fun match. Bit of a clash of styles here. Tyson T-Bone being a big brawler type. Ligero being a luchador. Ligero is avoiding T-Bone's strikes to start. He goes for a wrist lock, but T-Bone reverses it with an arm bar. Ligero avoids some offense afterwards. Enziguri from the apron, but T-Bone bounces back and smacks him to the floor with a straight punch. T-Bone goes after Ligero some more with some body shots. We're back in the ring. Fall-away slam on Ligero. T-Bone covers, only gets two. He gets a chin lock on Ligero. Not much offense by the Liverpool luchador so far. But he eventually battles back, but eats an elbow. T-Bone charges Ligero in the corner, but Ligero avoids. He gets an upper hand, gets some chops and some kicks, and Enziguri, a drop kick, running forearm into the corner. Ligero hits a sliced bread version, a version of sliced bread, covers T-Bone, only gets two. Nigel was saying, oh, this is, Maybe this is sliced bread number three. Then yeah, maybe so. He goes to the top, but and jumps off, but rolls through his move as T-Bone rolls away. T-Bone gets an exploder suplex on Ligero, a boot to his face, who is in the corner. Goes for a hip attack as well in the corner. Covers Ligero again, only gets two. But Ligero avoids a charge in the corner. T-Bone falls to the outside. Tumbleweed senton off the apron to the floor. Back in the ring, Ligero type rope walks into a body splash and gets the pin. Fun match. I mean, as far as a Clash of Styles match goes, I enjoyed it. This was good. This was a lot of fun. Yeah. I think if we're going to be completely honest, I think this was my favorite match of the evening, of at least episode 14. Next, we have Rhea Ripley, who comes to the ring to a nice ovation. People are cheering for her. They're happy. She says, I'm all about opportunities, and I took mine to become the first NXT UK Women's Champion, accompanied by cheers. She acknowledges them. And I'm like, okay. Because I like me heel Rhea Ripley. I like her. Like, she's a sourpuss. She's a meanie. I don't want her to stay like that. So says she that she hadn't picked a wrestler to have the opportunity of a lifetime and come in here and face the champion. And it's Candy Floss. Another 18-year-old British wrestler. It seems like they're all 18. The girls, the women's right now, between her and Zia Brookside and Millie McKenzie. Anyway, so Candy Floss hits the ring. Ripley shakes her hand. Sportsmanship. And there's no trickery, no chicanery. It's a legit shake. They lock up. And Ripley's being fair play. You know, they lock up and she pushes Candy Floss into the ropes and she breaks the hold clean. But Ripley gets her down with an arm bar, starts twisting the wrist. Floss tries to Irish whip her, but can't. Instead, it's Ripley who whips her. But she eats a shotgun dropkick from Candy Floss, and Rhea Ripley didn't appreciate that, didn't like that at all. She gets back up and she hits a dropkick of her own, covers Floss, but only gets two. Covers Floss. This is what's how it's going to go from now on. And, you know, me being unable to complete full sentences or in proper order. Anyway, Floss tries to get some offense in for the rest of the match. Can't. It ends as Ripley hits the Riptide, covers her, and that's it. First successful defense for the first NXT UK Women's Champion. She goes over after winning to, she helps Floss up to her feet, raises her arm, and forearms her to the back. She mounts Candy Floss and beats her up, tosses her out of the ring, and the queen of NXT UK stands alone. Flash Morgan Webster is cutting a promo when he sees Fabian Aichner backstage and he confronts Aichner, tells him that he doesn't quite appreciate what Aichner did to Mark Andrews last week, where he, not last week, but in the previous episode. Basically tells him, you know, Aichner tells him, well, you have a problem with that. Let's settle it in the ring next week. So we're getting Flash Morgan Webster versus Fabian Aichner next week in the ring. Sid Scala is standing next to angry old man Saint. Sid Scala is so fresh-faced and perfectly groomed and wearing the fittest of fit suits. And he says, as assistant general manager, I've been allowed to give my first announcement. And I'm laughing so hard because he's like an eager intern. It's so good. And I don't know how sincere he's being or if he's just hamming it up a little, but it's so natural and funny. It says his first announcement is that next week, Trent Seven versus Joe Coffey. I'm there for that. And some news on the NXT UK tag titles. It will probably be related to TakeOver Blackpool. That would be my educated guess. Main event is Wolfgang versus Buzzsaw Travis Banks. So Banks essentially was taken out weeks ago by Gallus. And he's out for revenge. So Banks goes after Wolfgang right off the bat with some strikes, forearms, kicks, stomps in the corner. Some great explosive offense by Travis Banks, who was a standout during the NXT UK tournament, UK Championship tournament this year. He was so good, and he is. He's good. He's really, really good. I'm glad to see him back. So Wolf tosses it, gets the upper hand, tosses him in the corner, into the post, I should say. Injured shoulder first. So they're going to work that a little bit. The Coffee Bros distract, allowing Wolf to drive Travis into the steel steps. Wolf wears Travis down, but Travis Banks battles back. He kicks, he gets some kicks in, but one kick gets caught by Wolfgang and he eats a forearm for his trouble. Wolfgang eats a dropkick and heads over to the outside, running stomp off the apron onto Wolfgang. Wolfgang gets back into the ring and Banks stomps Wolfgang on his back. He kind of slipped off though. It seems like he was wearing Finn Balor's shoes from Survivor Series, his new shoes where he did a chest stomp and sort of slipped. Who did he do it on? I don't quite remember, but he sort of slipped and almost crushed the other guy's face. Nonetheless, he covers Wolfgang. Travis Banks does covers and only gets two. Mark Coffey distracts, which allows Wolfgang to hit a back senton. A spear covers Banks for 2.9. Leaping, spinning kick by Banks off the second turnbuckle, but the Coffees run some more interference. But you know what? Enough is enough. The baby faces stick together. Mustache Mountain come in. They run to the ring to take care of the Coffee Bros. That allows Banks to hit a dive on both of the Coffee Brothers. And he comes back in on the apron. Wolfgang meets him, sets him up for a suplex from the outside to the inside. But Trent Seven locks Wolfgang's ankle, trips him as he's performing the suplex, allowing Banks the momentum he needs to splash on top of Wolfgang, cover him, and get the win. So there you go. A little payback by Trent Seven, a little underhanded tactic to get Banks to win. But as my friend John in the chat would say, justice prevails. Justice did prevail, even though it was a little underhanded. It still worked. Anyway, fine match. I'm short, but was more about the story or the angle anyway, eventually. But a good pairing between Wolfgang and Banks. I thought both guys looked good, but it was a little short. They worked a good pace. It was fine. Overall, episode 14 of NXT UK was not my favorite. Storyline advancement, sure, but there was nothing really that you could sink your teeth into. Whereas episode 13, you had Fabian Aichner versus Mark Andrews, which was great. You had Jordan Devlin versus Flash Morgan Webster, which was fantastic. So you should take the time to go take a look at it. And now that we're done here with the NXT UK recap, you should take the time to go check out all the other great stuff that's here on FightfulSelect.com. And as always, you know, we really, really appreciate your support. It's the best way to make sure that Fightful has a long, prosperous history here on the internet. And it's thanks to your support, coming in and watching our shows, enjoying your shows. Tell folks about Fightful Select. Tell them about Fightful.com. There's all sorts of ways to support Fightful.com by telling people where you find your news, where you find all the extra content, great, great podcasts like this one. It's the word of mouth that helps. Anything that you can do helps. You can follow me at Twitter on Twitter at Mr. Warren Hayes, or even at my YouTube channel if you feel like it, youtube.com/Mr. Warren Hayes. I do my own stuff over there as well. But I will see all of you very, very soon for some more great podcasting stuff here on Fightful Select. Guys, thank you very much for tuning in. Thank you for joining us live. I'll see you next time.